Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three of the most ethical journalists in the games biz. My name is Tommy Daslow. We also have with us, as always, Ben Vanell.
Welcome to Filthy Casuals. I'm a big boy. Hey.
Jesus Christ. We've also got the good old boy, Adam Knox.
Whoa, man. That is insulting.
That's literally what you did. That's the noise you made. You went,
I can't believe you would do that on a podcast.
Now, look, I don't want to, you know, buy into any of the stereotypes about our friends over in the West, but you guys have been in Perth, and it feels like you've come back heaps stupider. Can you explain?
I think we're still jet lagged.
How was your time over there? You met at least one filth, I know, for a fact.
Yep. Yes, we did.
We met Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Doing? Yeah. It was hot and tiring.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that you hated it.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought it was all right.
On the whole, I didn't enjoy it, but there were some enjoyable things that happened, and I would like to go back.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be better.
Yeah. You were in a bad mood.
What a strange review. Hated it. Can't wait to go back.
Well, I feel like I had a kind of maybe an idealized view of what the Fringe would be like.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yes. Now I have a realistic one.
Yeah.
Which is still like positive. Mm. I want to like go back and be better at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Like we also did end up like having a sold out show and a good review. So.
Oh, boo.
I guess you better all jump on my dick.
Yeah. Well, big news while you guys have been gone. Guess who went out to JB Hi-Fi? And finally, splash down some of that hard-earned cash.
Steve Bisley from Water Rats?
I was going to try and, guess anyone, but Tommy.
Well, I haven't named the item yet. What do you think Steve Bisley went into JB Hi-Fi?
Probably season three of Water Rats.
So he's spending money that he earned from the show on copies of the show that he was on.
Yeah, well, just like he wants to make sure that he's got it to show his grandkids and whatever.
Mm.
And so he goes in and he buys the DVD format that'll be defunct by the time his grandkids want to watch Water Rats.
I was going to say, you don't think he just has been given copies of the show given that he was on it?
Probably on VHS.
Well, but I have been on TV shows and then like down the track asked if I could have a copy from the people that made it for my show reel and been told that I had to pay them to get a copy sent out.
I had it wasn't on my YouTube account, but ABC did a copyright claim on my Raw thing.
Wow.
When I was on Raw and I didn't want that, and surely, but I don't own it. They owned it.
Yeah.
I don't own my own content. I don't own this. I don't own a goddamn thing. Yeah, I don't own the shirt on my back.
This. You own this.
Your name's in the title. Yeah, yeah, you own this.
Can I have a free copy of it then?
Yeah.
I'm going down to JB Hi-Fi and buying it every week.
Yeah. We need that sweet royalty money.
Okay. I went out on Friday and I bought a shiny new PlayStation 4.
Very
and
nice.
And I got to say, guys, it feels fucking great to be here in the future.
I was going to say. Yeah, you finally have a console that's up to par.
Mm. Friend of the podcast and host of the Hey Fam podcast, Angus Truscott, said to me, wow, now you can, you know, because you had a Wii U before, now you can actually play games. So that's cool. Having a system that stuff actually comes out on
feels
pretty good.
Well, do you remember when the joke about PS3 was that there was no games on it?
Yeah, the lead game was Talladega Nights was always the thing.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, Talladega Nights was like a Blu-ray that came packed in with them for a while in America.
That was kind of – but that's true of every system, like – with launch, I mean, PS4 didn't have a big launch.
That's true. No, it didn't. It didn't. Yeah. It had a lot of PS3 games.
I think it still
were remastered.
Yeah. It still does have a lot of that.
The first big thing that came out was Watch Dogs.
I guess.
But even that was a PS3 game. I remember that being like, this is the first
Yeah, that's true. I remember because I got one pretty early on. There were some like surprisingly good games, like the Wolfenstein game, The New Order.
But they were still a good 6 months into after it came out.
Yeah, like Destiny was around.
But that's always the case. Like, it's very rare that something launches with games that are worth getting it for.
I feel like maybe the 64 is the only like real solid launch.
And I think
you've got Mario 64 that comes out at the same time.
I think in Australia that was the only game that came out at the same time as well.
It was. Right. No, there were three. There was that. There was Pilot Wings.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Wave Race.
Yeah, Wave Race.
Oh, okay.
Wave Race I could never get into. Yeah. They put it up on the eShop the other day. They're like, who wants to go back in? It's like, this felt, the mechanics of this felt shit at the time.
Yeah.
Surely it's even more dated now. Like,
yeah, more like Wave Goodbye. Am I right? Wave Goodbye to the idea of playing Wave Race.
You picked
am I right?
One up in Perth, did you?
Oh, I picked up something in Perth.
Oh.
But yeah, it's it's pretty cool. I've been holding off for a little while, as you guys know.
Yep.
Kind of, was waiting to. You know what? I was kind of waiting for another price drop or for a sale to come up.
Yeah.
And I just thought me and my housemate have gone halves and we just went, let's just go do it. And then today, Target have announced a huge eBay sale where everything is 20% off.
Ooh. Yeah, beautiful.
And you can now get the bundle that I got for $100 less.
Wow.
4 days after I bought it. But hot tip to any listeners out there that are keen, if you've been holding out,
yep.
Go on the Target eBay store and I think you enter See Target when you check out and you get 20% off.
See Target as in like Ocean Target or as in Look at Target?
As in letter C. Yeah.
The letter C.
And it applies to, pretty rare for those sales, it applies to like everything.
So yeah,
you can get like a real cheap, Nintendo stuff is real cheap as well.
So what have you played
Target,
so far?
Does Target sell box sets of water rats?
I reckon they probably do.
I'm going to look it up.
In fact, I reckon they might be the only place that does.
Yeah.
What have I played? I bought it Friday afternoon. I came home.
Before we go into play, what's your experience with it from the start?
So I got home. I set it up. I was going out for dinner and drinks with a friend that night and then going to Adelaide for the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
Very early the next day. So I had a very limited window where I could play. I thought, this is great. I'll go home. I'll set it up. I'll get an hour and a bit of play in. Of course, gaming in 2016, everything that I bought, like that came in the bundle with it.
Yep.
Everything needs a fucking patch on day one that's like 4 gig.
Yep.
So I basically sat on the couch for half an hour watching like progress bars.
Fucking brutal.
Like, going up.
But they were smooth next gen progress bars.
I really did
like,
sit there and go, this is fucking sweet. Like it just felt like watching the process happen was just like real time watching me catch up to be able to actually have stuff to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah.
So I did all that. I came home a little drunk and I played. So I've got – it came bundled in with the Uncharted collection.
Yep.
Which I'm actually yet to even put into the system.
Yeah.
Just Cause 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded The Witness and I downloaded Firewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So I don't know where to begin. Now, I've played a little bit of Just Cause 3.
Yeah.
Which I know you've been playing a bit.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
I played – are you still looking up water rats, by the way? You've been staring at your phone for the whole time I've been talking.
They don't have water rats.
Did you then just decide to just tune out and just start checking?
Well, no. Then I went and looked at how much PS4s cost and I still can't get one.
Just Cause 3 I played a little bit of, which I just was kind of like psyched on because I'm like, oh, this is the only like big game I have on here at the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I got to say I played it for like maybe half an hour and then I've kind of made the decision there's too much good stuff out there to kind of waste time on something that I'm just sort of I was like, oh, this is kind of a bit fun to it's not amazing, but it's fun to just fuck around in. And then I just went, why do that when you can play something that actually is amazing?
Yeah. If you still haven't played like GTA 5 or like the Uncharted games,
like
or Batman Arkham
even 9 though I've rather played it, I would rather go in on Uncharted 2 again to get ready for Uncharted 4.
Yep.
Then run around with my fucking parachute and my grappling hook.
Well, that's what happened. I think I mentioned, like, I played it for, you know, a couple of days when I bought it. Then I went and finished a game that came out.
Yeah.
And then I went back to it because I had nothing else to play. And I just fucked around for like days. So.
Yeah. I don't know. At first I was like, oh, the mechanic of this is kind of cool. So just a refresher, because we did talk about it when it came out, but it's, what is it? Mediterranean Island.
Yeah.
It's got this oppressive dictator and you're this guy leading a band of rebels who are trying to take him down.
Yep.
And it's fine, but here's the problem. So then I started playing The Witness, which Knox, we were talking about last night, or last episode as well.
Yeah.
And you've played a bit of, which is an amazing game. Ben got here early and played a little bit with me just then.
Did you get it from like 10 minutes of having a look at it?
Yeah, totally.
Does it make sense? What it's real good.
I was trying to show my housemate it the other day.
Yeah.
And I was at a big patch where I couldn't find any puzzles. So it was just me walking around in the bush and he's like, this looks hell boring.
Yeah.
But Ben, we got lucky. We got to a bit where it was a bit where the puzzles kind of progress and the mechanics kind of come in. So actually did get a pretty good taste.
Right. And I don't know if there's anything beyond that, because like I know, like I haven't looked into it that much because I just want to play it at some point.
Yeah,
but is there a story or a world or?
Well, where I'm at, you still don't know. I get the impression you're very much further on.
I've played a fair bit of it now, and I kind of don't want to tell you.
Okay, right. Cool. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's enough to want me to play.
Yeah. I did see on a site today that there's
not because it's a spoiler. I just don't want to fucking interact with you.
No, that's fair enough.
Pair of losers.
Wow, that was really unnecessary. Like I'd moved on to another point.
I just wanted to point it out. Yeah.
I know you wanted to point it out. I'm saying you shouldn't have pointed it out.
It wasn't that funny either. Like that's a lot of effort.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
Well, you didn't succeed either.
Well, I did succeed because I wasn't trying to be funny.
No, but I laughed.
So was it funny or not?
Shut the fuck up.
I just, in my head, had to make an improvisational choice of, should we stretch this out for the entire rest of the episode?
Yeah.
That would be very funny. And we never come back to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was going with it. I don't know what.
We never record another episode.
I think we could have done it. I like to think that we're all skilled enough to have actually pulled that off for another 40 minutes.
I'm the Steve Bisley of improvisation. I've been thinking a lot about Steve Bisley lately, and I don't know why.
Fuck, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
The Witness.
I read a thing on the site, on a site, that there's like a bonus puzzle that like 3% of, it's like 3% of PS4 players and 4% of PC players solved. So that tells you is PC players are smarter than PS4 players.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think anyone would refute.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, like I'm sure there's a lot more, like,
3% of people playing it have solved this puzzle. That's insane. Yeah. That is insane.
Maybe you just like have to donate them $1 billion or something. It's something to do with
Martin Shkreli.
Kanye West created the puzzle.
It's interesting that he got out of debt. That got into debt the second that The Witness came out. But there's.
By the way, I just remembered. I don't know if you remember, like 8 months ago or something. Kanye West went off on Twitter about apps that have in-app purchases.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Because his kid had taken his iPad. Wouldn't it be great if that was how he was $44 billion in debt, was just from his kid.
Fuck.
Buying like...
From Northwest, having like a really big Simpsons town or something.
Or ironically, buying in-app purchases on the Kim Kardashian app that she has.
Well, then surely they would still be fine for money if she had bought it for her.
No, it's just it's that cut that Apple takes.
Well, because it'd just be Kanye's money going into Kim's pocket.
Maybe that's what she wants.
But she's not getting
shit.
Oh, she
all
a gold
the money
digger.
That game makes.
Yeah.
Kim's not getting all of it.
Apple that's going to Apple.
Probably
it's going
Apple
to
develop. I reckon she's what do you reckon? Yeah, I reckon she's been paid a fee for the licensing.
A licensing,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe a bit of back end.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean a lot of back end. There it is, the best thing I'll ever do. But yeah, The Witness. So anyway, my point being.
Yeah, yeah.
My point being, playing The Witness and Firewatch, which we'll get into a bit, little bit later.
Yeah.
Two games that are very, very unique and kind of spectacular experiences. Then playing something that's just kind of a open world knockoff where you're running around with guns.
Yeah, with a worse story than good.
And the gunfight is like really lame. Like there is no strategy to it. You literally can just stand there and cop as many bullets as you want.
Yeah.
With this kind of like half-assed mechanic of a parachute, it really, that stuff really kind of sticks out. Like how generic a lot of gaming experiences
are. Do you remember that game? It was like a really old 2D game on like 386. It's called Aquanoid. And it was like, you had a little paddle on the bottom of the screen that went left and right, and you bounced a ball and it hit blocks and the blocks disappeared.
So it's like Breakout or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically what Just Cause 3 is, except instead of blocks, they're like fuel tanks.
Yes.
And instead of a paddle and a ball, it's a guy with grenades.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. It's fun, but it's nothing groundbreaking.
But like playing The Witness, I felt like The Witness kind of feels like, to be honest, a game that the sort of game that Nintendo should be making now.
Yeah,
they've
right.
always been good at. Like, it's like solving the puzzles in that I feel the same way I felt like when I was however old I was when Banjo-Kazooie came out. And
yeah,
you would
sure.
get a puzzle piece yeah. at the end of that, like where you would meet a little thing and yeah. you go and solve a puzzle. It's a very...
It makes you feel like a goddamn genius,
yeah,
some of
exactly.
them.
Like, and it's that satisfying thing that I haven't had. Like, I've played a lot of video games that I loved.
Yeah.
But just that real thing where it's like, I'm playing something so unique. I'm totally swept up in this world
yep.
yeah.
as well, which a lot of games now... And again, I'll talk about this more when we talk about Firewatch, but mm-hmm. the way that you project yourself onto your character,
yep.
you're like, I'm a dude playing a game, I'm making this guy run around. The difference between that and going, I'm actually in this world.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The Witness, I feel, I turn it on and I'm like, I'm totally there in the world.
I found myself sitting on a tram, like going over a puzzle I couldn't get past in my head.
Yeah, right.
Trying to figure it out. And I actually did it when I got home.
Yeah.
Like you told me something last night that made me laugh a lot where this there was
sounds
people,
unlikely.
There were some people this. That we know were talking about it over the weekend and you know, one guy obviously like way further in brought out a like put a screenshot of like, oh, shit's getting real, and he'd like taken a notepad and like,
oh, yeah.
was like making notes of the puzzles. And I was very early on. I went, what a fucking loser nerd. Mm-hmm. Like these puzzles aren't mm-hmm. that hard. Cut to me like an hour later with the back of an envelope and a Sharpie trying to yep. work it out. And then you said to me, Knox.
Old Muggins over here, I bought some fucking graph paper. Because I was in an Office Works anyway because I was buying notepads to take to Perth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought like, oh, fuck, you know what would be good? Like graph paper.
Fuck.
Because it's the first time I've ever wanted it and not had it around because it always, I feel like graph paper disappeared at some point. Do you know what I mean?
I don't
it's just because I left high school and haven't
yeah.
thought about it since
yeah.
then.
Probably that.
But yeah, it's so but it's real good. And it's the thing you were saying about the I've seen little bits and pieces of those things of like only 3% of people have done this and oh, there's this crazy secret.
Mm.
But there's a part of me that wants to look all that shit up
yeah.
and know what it is, but yeah. like being able to find it because there's one I'll be real vague about it, but like pretty significant thing that it doesn't tell you about, but when you see the first example of it, you go, oh, fuck, of course.
Yeah. Mm.
And it kind of switches the way you look at it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really crazy. And I bet there's probably more shit like that.
Yeah, right.
I think I've maybe.
Do you think one of you've seen something? We'll talk about it after this because I don't want to fuck it for anybody else. Who.
Well, this is the other thing, too, is that I don't know. I think we need to. Because I want to talk about Firewatch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you, Knox.
It's short, so I'll.
I mean,
and I'm going to recommend it. Like,
what do we do with this stuff? Because I want to talk about it in depth. Because I have some stuff to say about it.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be spoiled. Like it's you know, it's so hard with this stuff. Where what do we do? Maybe we come back in a week's time with the Witness when I'm a bit further in.
Yeah.
When I've finished.
I reckon, especially like the Witness is quite long, so I reckon. At some point, you've got to accept about something like The Witness, I'm probably going to find out shit before I would have.
Yes, well, certainly with this where we're doing it to an audience, you have to accept, okay, look, it's been a month now. It's open slather. If you don't want to hear it, you know.
It's cancelled.
Certainly don't want to hear it.
But it's with something like Firewatch, because it's sort
Please give that another moment to breathe.
The same could be said of the show.
I would disagree, but anyway.
Smother that bitch.
Yeah. Pillow over its face.
Go Indian at the end of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yes.
We've smashed the water cooler through the window and we are just off into the wilderness.
What I was going to say about Firewatch shows, because that's only like from what you guys said, 3 or 4 hours long.
Yep.
Because it's a length of a movie, I reckon treat it like a movie.
Yes.
Sure, give it
and
a grace
so give
period.
It a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Give everyone a chance to, because you guys sounded positive about it before. What's it like?
Well, okay, so Firewatch, we both went in. I finished it last night.
Yep. I finished it a couple of days before that, I think.
Yeah, well, fucking good on you. Yeah.
Like, I just want to put it on record. Yeah. I don't know exactly when I finished it, but it was before Tommy.
The smallest man in the world. Can I just get the exact time that you finished it? Because I'd like to know exactly how many hours before.
Did you just finish your sandwich then? Oh, I finished mine about 3 or 4. You were only about
Speaking
3 or 4 bites in.
Speaking of the exact time that I did finish it, I sat up all night and finished it like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
It's only like 4 hours long, so I must have started playing it 1 a.m.
At 1 a.m., yeah.
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 But
that makes sense. Yep. That checks out.
Wait, Knox, get your graph paper out.
Hold on.
But it's very engrossing.
Yes.
The art style and like the audio kind of design, which is mostly not music. Most of it's like just atmospheric sounds.
So it's, so Bit of context, it is a new release on, what is it? It's on
it's
PS4
multi-platform,
and Steam,
I think. It's, yeah.
And Xbox, anyway.
Yeah.
I think it might just be PS4, actually, maybe. Anyway, whatever. It's a developer, it's their first game
yes.
from this particular studio.
A few guys who used to work for Telltale.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
So it's basically, you are a guy who is in the forest and you're like a fire watchman and you're in a little lookout and you're communicating with your boss over walkie-talkie,
yeah.
over radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I've finished doing that, what's the game like?
Oh, God.
Maybe you should go back to Perth.
Nah, that's all right.
You should go for a swim on one of those beaches in Perth. Oh, the ones with heaps of sharks.
Hey, you should look into this bottle of pills and maybe swallow a bunch. I don't know.
So it's, yeah, it's basically, I was a little skeptical on it at the start because of the
yeah.
whole fact of it, people saying that it's like it's a story that you play through.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
And when something's very on rails like that, I just kind of think, well, why would I not just watch it as a – why not just make it as a movie?
Sure.
But that being said, after I started playing it, the things that happen to you in it, the kind of the big beats of it,
mm-hmm.
I think resonates so hard because you're in control. And so
yeah.
you're communicating with your boss who you don't ever see
yep.
over radio and you get the choice of what you say back to her, like you when she talks to you.
Yeah.
You choose the conversation. It doesn't really change the course of the story or the flow, but just because you've gotten to make these little choices, you
yeah.
do feel when stuff starts happening to you, and again, this is what I'm saying about the immersion thing and feeling
yeah.
like I'm actually in the game.
Yeah.
Like that stuff, like you can choose to flirt with her a bit if you want, or you can,
yeah.
did you flirt with her, by the way?
No.
Ah. Oh,
bullshit.
Wouldn't have picked that at all, you dirty
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, no you didn't.
No, but that's, yeah, that's the thing. It's
I went right in immediately the first time yeah. it came up.
Oh,
first dialogue joint, don't blush, baby. It's just straight away.
Yeah, I as soon as I finished it, I read like a whole bunch of stuff about it. And there's like a lot of interesting takes. There's a lot of disappointed people.
Yes.
Which we can get into in a couple of weeks, perhaps.
Look, I reckon we give it, let's say in a week we'll talk more about.
If Noxy's finished it, I reckon.
Yeah, because I think that's an interesting, I do think that's an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just do this tonight. Maybe
yeah.
I'll buy it tonight and just,
yeah.
I got a bit of.
But yeah.
Well, that doesn't fucking help us now.
Yeah, no, I'll do it tonight.
I really liked it. Yeah. I didn't know a hell of a lot about it. I watched like the trailer on Steam.
Yeah.
It's like, well, fuck, that looks cool. That looks cool. Michael Jackson moonwalk in here.
My housemate just walked in a full tracksuit looking like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Froze.
Presumably could have heard us all the way down the hallway.
Yeah.
Froze when he got into the room.
And then backed on out.
And like completely froze as well.
Yeah.
Like no motion. Would have disappeared on a heat sensor. Like. Anyway.
But yeah, it's I think it's cool. I kind of think it's kind of interesting that Firewatch and The Witness kind of came out at the same time.
Even me, visually look
yeah,
kind
look,
of similar.
Yeah, similar experiences and also both games that you – like it's weird that either of them have a trailer because
yeah.
in no way can you sell what – you know, you can watch the trailer for example, Far Cry Primal.
Sure.
It comes out on Tuesday. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
The trailer. But those two I was like, eh. And then people started talking about them and I was like, well, these are obviously great.
I think I had to have some good like feedback going around. But I think that what Firewatch communicated in its trailer was possibly the best thing about the game, which was the atmosphere.
Yes.
Like it does set up the feeling of this guy in the middle of nowhere just trying to escape and doing this job. The look, the sound of it, and also the kind of – the dialogue, it's very well written and very well
that's
delivered.
Been the biggest, that was the biggest thing for me was, yeah, it's acted really well.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, and we've talked about this a bit on this show, like the thing of some game writing is horrific and so stupid.
This
bad.
Was great. This
yeah.
was like on the, like the power of good TV writing these
yeah.
days.
Yeah,
like
it was actually, it was refreshing to see legitimate good writing, not just for video games. Like,
totally. And also like, not just in like in spoken words, in the way the story is developed and the emotional themes.
Yeah.
It's just a really well-made game. Yeah.
Because, again, to go back to Just Cause 3, like the credit sequence at the start of that I really liked.
Right, which I remember saying on this that I didn't like. I thought it was a bit shitty.
I thought it was cool. Like I just, I don't know, the song, I think it's a cover of Firestarter.
It anyway, is, yeah.
I just don't know. I hadn't seen that in a game before. I kind of like that. It just shows you how many, how removed I am from like
big
one blockbuster titles.
Exactly, because it's like gen. It was a slightly shittier version of like a bunch of games that came out 3 years ago.
But there's a screen that comes up where it's like writers and there's like 11 of them and you're like, oh God, don't admit to that.
Like, yeah, it's like a Michael Bay movie. Like,
this is not worthy of 11 separate...
Yeah.
11 separate quills on the old parchment.
Yeah.
God, it's, like just even the 15 minutes I've played of that, it's
abysmal.
It's so hokey. It's so bad.
So with Firewatch, are you making choices or are you sort of being tricked into thinking you're making choices but you're not really?
At the very start, the intro of it is all text-based.
Yeah. So this was very cool.
I liked that a lot. The whole intro that leads you into the actual game, into being in the bush, is all text-based, which is – I liked it a lot because even though it was clearly done for – like doing that instead of doing like a CGI cutscene or whatever was clearly done for budgetary reasons because they're a small studio, but I feel like it just – it got you in so much more than just like watching a movie. Like,
and again, because it was good writing.
Yeah.
It was, you were sitting there and you hit start and then, screen kind of comes up and there is a bit of music.
Yeah.
And it's like, you are Henry. This is this year.
Mm.
This is what, and it kind of goes through. Oh, let's not spoil it, but it's very well done.
I mean, you get to choose stuff in that.
And well, the reason I ask is because I don't really care about the false choices, and I thought something that these people, I guess, did really well with The Walking Dead was the, and people got annoyed about it, was that none of your choices actually really affected things as much.
Right, which happened with,
that's
like.
True of Firewatch, I think.
Totally.
I think which anything is, that you do is totally really fine. Change the game, the overall experience.
Yeah.
What I have heard is it's mainly just conversational stuff. So if you start flirting with, your boss's name is Delilah. Delilah? Yeah. I keep forgetting what it is. If you flirt with her early on, she then reciprocates and like
I bet she won't with me.
This isn't a spoiler.
I bet she won't when I do it.
This isn't a spoiler, but I had a conversation with her where it was like, it started to be like, oh, I wish I was over there with you right now.
And right.
Like it sort of, more of that stuff sort of started to creep through, which I imagine was probably not your experience if you were just kind of like shutting it.
Not so much, yeah.
Let her in, Ben.
It has, in terms of the end game, the choices are not real.
Yeah.
But in terms of your experience of the game, which appears to be, and what I think is the point of this game, is the journey.
Exactly,
It changes how you feel as you play.
The fact that I was dictating the conversation, the fact that I was sort of doing the conversation, so to speak, when things happened, they affected me more because, I felt like I'm in this. Like the fact that I'm choosing these little things that are very cosmetic.
Yeah.
But the fact that I got to say, hey, go fuck yourself, instead of, yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like I felt like when stuff happened, I was like, well, I am, this dude is starting to kind of...
Totally. Well, the Walking Dead. There was one in like the third episode of that or whatever where a character betrays you. But like I'd been kind of a dick to her before that. So it made sense and it was cool and it was kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
And even though it probably wouldn't happen either way, it does make you feel a little bit more ownership over that story.
Like there's a bit where she's radioing you and you can have a crack at her about something. And I did it because I was like, yeah, this is fucked. And I had to go. And then she's like, well, fuck you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And like hung the radio up and I couldn't contact her. And I was like, because you're just walking around by yourself. I was like, oh, fuck. Come back.
Yeah. Oh, so
change.
One fantastic thing about this game.
If you know. Yeah.
That was the joke I was avoiding making.
One of the best things about this game is the visual design.
Yes.
And they got this guy, Ollie Moss, who's like, he does those like very stylized posters and stuff. And the game basically looks like him mixed with like the Wes Anderson film Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like it's just this great, very distinctive art style. It's set in the 80s as well. And it just, it helps get you immersed in the game as well. Like it's so fucking good.
Here's what I heard that I want to test. I need to look more into this. I should have done this before today. You get a disposable camera in the game at a certain point.
Yes.
And because it's so beautiful, you can like take photos in the game and then you can save them and upload them and whatever, which people have been doing online. Apparently you can get the photos mailed to you.
Oh, really?
Through the game, like in real life. Yeah.
That's sick.
How crazy is that?
That's really cool.
Yeah. So Very cool. So, yeah, end of the day, look, we'll give it a week or two. Maybe next week we'll talk more about the ending because I think that, there's a lot of interesting stuff to say about that, I think.
Totally.
But, yeah, for now, I would definitely recommend anyone
absolutely
who's on the fence go in. You know, it's depending on where you get it, it's between like $23 to $30, which I was saying to you last night, I felt like, is that a little steep for a game that I don't think it has much replay value, but then, movies on a Saturday night at $25 bucks.
Totally.
I got this
on Steam for $18.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's worth it.
That's definitely worth it.
Definitely worth it, yeah.
Really, it'll be really interesting to see what this studio does next.
I would love
them to just crank one of these out every little while.
Or even go a larger scale.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I mean, I really enjoyed the length of time that it took because we talked last week about, we talked more about finance, but how you prioritize games and, you know, how much time you have to you know, devote to a certain game. Mm-hmm. It was just really nice to, I think I downloaded it on Sunday and was done with it by Monday night. And that was good because I very rarely ever get to the end of games.
Yeah.
Like, I went back in on Wind Waker a week, which I haven't played for literally 2 years.
Yeah.
And fuck, man, the Zelda games are so bad for trying to come back in and not remember what you're doing.
Yep.
Like, especially Wind Waker, where a lot of the other ones you'll be in a village and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah, the castle up there. I've got to get to that.
Yeah.
Wind Waker, you come back in and you're literally just in the middle of the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a whole thing, you know, there's other games you're meant to do side quests and collect extra bits of map and stuff.
Yeah.
I never bother doing that. So I don't even have a map to tell me where
it doesn't have any sort of like list of like a little book or whatever, like anything in the game to go like, hey, remember you got to go get your socks or whatever.
And a lot of other things. I mean, GTA, you just go, oh, okay, except go to this next mission.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's story mission. Like, it's all easy to, but it took me honestly an hour of just sailing around and going to islands and just going up to every random cunt I could find and just talking to them, hoping that one of them would go, hey, remember how you meant to be down the shops? And
I'd
be
like,
oh, fuck yeah, the shops. And I did get there eventually, but fuck it. It was just like, there not be a better built-in thing of just like, hey, here's where you're currently meant to be going. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Firewatch, very good.
Firewatch, definitely high recommendation.
We spoke about Oxenfree a bunch of times. Oxenfree is stuck in like the last generation's version of video game storytelling, and I think Firewatch is the next one.
Yeah, I mean, there was a certain point in this where I realized in Firewatch where I realized like, oh, this is just like a point and click game. This is like a LucasArts thing where it's on rails and you're just kind of like acting out a story.
Yeah,
but
the way it does
do the first person instead of just like static screens.
Totally. Yeah. So I read somewhere someone say instead of you become the character.
You would have
the character
just
doesn't become
this
you.
Course in uni, by the way, if you turned this in. I read something somewhere.
Oh, Wikipedia.
Citation number 4. This cunt on the train or something.
So Nox, like you mentioned, like is it choice or illusion of choice? It's illusion.
Yeah.
But it serves a story and it serves.
I don't have a problem with illusion of choice.
It serves to immerse you within the game. And the character exists and is a well done character, rather than you being in the game. Like, you become the character rather than the character becoming you.
That's way more interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually interesting at the start. I really thought it was going to be Link style where you weren't going to have...
You imprint yourself on
like you have a picture of him. Like, his personality is really defined and there's a photo of him that you see on your desk that you can look at and go, oh, okay, this is what this guy looks like instead of just imagining, oh, it's me.
Well, I think that's kind of cool. And when that's happened in a game, I've enjoyed it more maybe than making my own decisions. Because if I'm making my own decisions in quotes, what'll generally happen is I'll do the thing that gets me the best reward.
Yeah.
You know? So like in Mass Effect, for example, I'll always just be this super nice guy because there's no point in not.
Yeah.
But if there's a game like it sounds like Firewatch is where you're a character, you're more likely to go, no, fuck you actually.
Yeah. Yep.
It was actually really fun to like there's a bit early on. This isn't a spoiler. There's some kids and you can
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, this is yeah, literally one of the
I would have been so parents. Surprised by those kids.
You can either, as opposed to in real life, the kids being surprised by you. You can either be like, hey, please don't do that, or you can tell them to go fuck themselves. You can be really vicious to them. And it was so fun to just be
great.
Like, knowing that it wouldn't affect, you're right. If I knew that was going to really affect
if
the
you were
going to
get $500 or $200, you know?
Yeah. I might have backed off, but it was way more fun to just be really.
Yeah, there's no renegade points or paragon points appearing
all
in the corner of the screen.
All that shit was fucking silly in Mass Effect because, all that. Did you ever play Mass Effect, Tommy? We've talked about this before.
Them, I'm just replaying the first one now.
So the way it happens is basically because it's not even good or evil. It's good or just a good dickhead.
Yeah.
You know? And so you either get to go I'll save the world, or I'll save the world and you're a cunt.
Yeah.
That's basically the only difference. Right. And so it just feels silly.
You kind of like Kirk or Spock, kind of.
Not even Spock. It's Kirk or fucking jerk. Got him. 10 out of 10. End the podcast.
Two boys arguing about Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's what I'm saying. Kirk is the renegade one. Oh. That's how non-renegade it is.
Well, exactly. It's just some loser.
Yeah.
Fucking walking around being a jerk to everybody, but for some reason they keep hiring him.
Yeah, but with a little wink, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a cheeky boy.
Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about, Ben, I know you were keen to talk about a bit more about choice in video games.
Right,
put the question out to the filth during the week.
Yeah, so, Nox, you've played some of the Telltale games?
Yeah.
I've played a bit of The Walking Dead and I didn't really like it.
Okay, you're wrong.
I played the start of one, and at that point, I've read the comics for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was up to date with them. The TV show started, and it annoyed me just because it was something that is a page in the comic was taking a whole episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was
right.
I know where this ends up. Just get to the good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I might actually start in on it now because I stopped reading the comic because the comic got a little fucking silly.
Yeah.
I'm sick of reading it month to month. So it was around that time that I also had a crack at the game and I was like, how many fucking forms of media am I going to be taking in this zombie story over? Just it's a cool story, but I don't need it taking up every aspect of
totally, especially when they're so similar. And the game at least was different to the comic or the show.
Well, yeah, that was that was
different
kind of
protagonists.
What
but so from memory, the first maybe one or even two episodes of that weren't as strong as the rest of it.
Right. Okay.
So it was the third one when I got really invested in it.
And is that because the choices you're making are starting to
It's have because
an
the
impact,
story
or?
Just kicks off in this big way. Right. More interestingly than just there's zombies in a farm and whatever. You
right.
know, so that was something about that. And then the second series of it was weaker, but still good, I thought. But a lot of people hated it because it was a lot more about sort of big shockingy set pieces rather than interesting characters or whatever.
Yep.
And I still liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those are the only Telltale games I've played.
I'd like to go in on The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's like a fairy tale noir thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They did a big Sam & Max kind of reboot. That was their first thing, right? I've been keen to play that for ages because, the original is one of my favorite. And I love those characters.
They did the Monkey Island ones too, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't remember if I played them. That was years ago.
One game that someone mentioned, Michael Ward mentioned on our Facebook page, is BioShock.
Yeah,
which the statute of limitations on those spoilers are gone.
Yeah, in terms of choice or in terms of a story,
I guess both.
Because fuck the choice bullshit in that game. That
totally
was nothing.
But you think maybe it is something for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it turns out it's not, and that's part of the story.
The
and
choice in it is
very
get,
well done.
You,
I think
the choice in it is there's these little girls called little sisters who have me saying this makes it sound weird. They have a bunch of Adam in them. It's this thing called.
Oh,
it's this
good.
Thing called Adam, which
Can
is
you
like
not do that to your dick while you're in my house, please.
it's this
avoid it, avoid touching it. I'll
so
stop
in
it.
BioShock, there's like this underground, ideal utopian, Ayn Rand city.
Yeah.
This guy's invented, and
it falls apart because of a drug that somebody makes that's called Adam.
Yes,
and it's
which kind of modifies you to be better.
Yeah, and it gives you superpowers like shooting bees and shit.
Yeah,
like not like. getting a real precision aiming. Anyway, you can either harvest the little girls and they die, or you can
save them.
But you get a bunch of this drug, which gives you powers,
right?
Or you can save them, and you get
less
get
of the drug, and.
And then at the end, you get one or two endings where either the girls are happy or the girls are sad.
Yeah.
That's basically it. And it's kind of, the ending of that game was shitty anyway.
Right. There is a point before the ending, which is good, which ties in very closely to the idea of the illusion of choice in
games.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a cool reveal. And then totally. You play for like 3 or 4 more hours after that in like the weakest parts of it.
And then there's like a big boss at the end and it's just shitty.
Yeah.
But the Bioshock, the game, up until the twist... Yeah. And including the twist is very good.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the best examples of why the illusion of choice in video games is better if the storytelling is also great.
You can't have a twist and then keep going too much longer after the twist.
Well, that's
done the twist. That's the
mistake that Bioshock made. But it remains one of the best games of all time because everything else was so good.
Right, okay, cool.
But yeah, Bioshock, great example of this.
I'm interested, did people comment, are there any games where you like... choice like super dictate like your experience is going to be wildly different to anyone else's?
I saw somebody bring up Dwarf Fortress on a Facebook or Twitter or something.
Yeah.
And so games like that are more, do either of you know what that is? I've never played it, but so, and it seems like one of those things where the stories about it are way more interesting than actually playing it would be.
Right.
So it's completely like open world thing, and the way it's presented is like as a fucking like DOS program, you know?
Right, okay.
Like it's all just those like ASCII characters and shit, and represent everything.
Yeah.
But what you're like a basically god, I guess, and you're making you're a dwarf. You're a dwarf fortress there. You got lots of dwarfs.
Yep.
And you build a little fortress for them. But the game is this fucked up, crazy weirdos made it, I guess, because it's got all this nuts shit in it. Like, it's so detailed. Like, if you build a steel wall too close to a lava pit, it will eventually buckle and the thing will collapse. And it's just like, it's keeping track of all these fucking nuts algorithms and stuff. And so
like
the stories.
If you build some steel beams next to some jet fuel, they'll definitely melt.
No, there's not a chance. Jet fuel cannot melt them. And it's included in the game. And it's, but the great thing is that a story will build around the reason that those steel beams melted. And it'll be a false story. But your dwarves will end up going to war because of it. It'll end up changing.
Dwarf W. Bush.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's all Dwarf W. Bush.
So you get all these crazy stories of like, hey, so I built this fucking thing and then a dragon came and whatever.
Right.
But they're more intricate than any I can remember right now. But there's no inbuilt story is what I'm saying. Is that like a story that someone could tell you about a game can often be more interesting. Have you ever heard of EVE Online as well?
Yes.
So that's like this big space multiplayer game.
Yeah.
And what people do is they've set up their own like fucking factions and guilds and shit in that. Their own like corporations, I think they're called.
Yeah.
And it's about space mining and all this shit. But then what you get is like, so for example, one time there was this guy who he worked for, let's call it Rio Tinto is the name of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy worked for Rio Tinto, but he went, hey, guess what? I'm going to go over there and work for McDonald's, pretend that I'm a McDonald's guy. And 2 years later, real world time, he'd gotten to the point where he was the second in command of McDonald's and then went, all right, fuck you guys, and took all of their money, all of their ships, blew up a bunch of their shit and went back home. And it was like real world actual subterfuge, and people lost real world tens of thousands of dollars worth of shit because of this like crazy subterfuge story that had happened in this game. So that sort of stuff is almost more interesting than a game that story that somebody's written.
Totally. Because there are only a finite amount of possibilities and choices in a pre-written
game. Exactly. Yeah. So if you create this crazy sandbox thing and then let a bunch of people in, they're going to make something real interesting happen, but neither of those games seem any fun to play.
What are
the other big choice ones that people had?
Someone mentioned Abe's Odyssey, which is not so much about choice, it's about how well you do. You get different endings based on how many of your mates you save.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of stuff is interesting though, like the whole different endings thing, like that thing of how many collectibles you track down or whatever version of that that is in the game. Like the idea of like I remember early on in I believe it's Wario Land, the first Wario Land.
Yeah.
The more gold that you have at the end, the better you're like you see him with all the gold at the end. And
Yeah.
It actually like how much stuff you've picked up and how many gems or whatever it is you've gone and hunted.
Yeah, yeah.
Is like he's happier at the end or he's got like he's bought something with it. Like I thought that. I remember thinking it's just on the Game Boy, which is such a small.
Yeah.
And it actually must have been a huge deal to pack multiple endings in.
Sure.
Well,
I thinking that was really cool.
See, I tend to not like those things because it means that either I'm going to be rushing around doing a bunch of shit that's usually boring of like, hey, go collect all these fucking mushrooms. There's a million of them.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to play it, I want to get the good one the first time because I'm probably never going to play it again.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think as long as it's like, for me, I just go, I actually don't care what I get. I get what I get and because that's reflective of like what I chose to do in the game.
Yeah,
like,
I'm still getting I can't do that. If at the end it goes like, ah, you loser. Fuck you. Here's the bad ending. I'm like, oh, well, I wasted all that time.
Well, the biggest.
Says a lot about you, Noxy.
I'm a competitive man and I'm often disappointed.
The biggest story in terms of.
Wait, it's interesting that you say that you want to go and you get the best thing possible that you can. When yesterday I had to talk you into filling out a form for the comedy festival that was going to take you 3 seconds to do because you couldn't be fucked doing it.
It's not because I couldn't be fucked. That's not true. There are genuine reasons.
Okay.
We've heard a lot about whether or not reviewers are worthwhile in this week.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh,
maybe I got a little bit of
real estate nong.
Maybe I got moonied.
So what I was going to say is the biggest example of multiple endings recently is Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people getting real pissed off of
that. Yeah.
Being real babies.
Well, so okay.
I have a suggestion. We're getting up near the end of this ep.
Yeah.
We have to go run our gig.
Yes.
If we want to talk about endings and people being pissed off, I think that also ties into Firewatch.
Yes.
So why don't we couch this discussion until next week?
Absolutely.
In with Firewatch.
Yep.
And next
people
week.
People being disappointed by the endings of games is something that we haven't gone into. And I think it's, I think it's interesting.
It's a rich vein.
I think it's an interesting thing to talk
about.
So
I'll play Firewatch by next week and then next week's episode will spoil it.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Yeah,
and, also,
fair warning to the listeners.
And we'll put like a time. It'll probably be the whole episode. So yeah,
we can put time. We can work it out next week. But if you're thinking of doing it, try and do it before next week, and we'll talk about it.
And we'll still give you a warning next week.
We'll give you a warning.
Obviously.
Yeah, and also, this is the most kind of seamless transition into next week's episode we've had. We're going to talk endings. So send us. What endings have you loved? What endings have really pissed you off?
Yeah. Also, give us a spoiler warning when you send them in because we haven't played every game.
Well,
we are casual gamers.
You don't have to go in depth. You can say, just say, hey, this really annoyed me. And then if we want, we can go look it up.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Or if you want to be specific, give a spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Because I have a specific reason about Firewatch, about why I think that people were disappointed and why. Anyway.
So do I. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
But
speaking of disappointing endings.
But even that, like, I.
Then we cut.
Just to get. Okay, so that brings us to the end of this episode. Send that stuff in.
Yeah.
Ben, you're going to have to do it. Man, I can't remember any of these fucking hands.
Facebook is just good old filthy casuals. Twitter is.
No, it isn't.
No, that's. Don't say good old. It's.
Oh, wait. Facebook is, yeah.
Yeah. Twitter is filthycastpod.
That's right.
Email is filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. Ben Vanell, Adam G. Knox, Dasilo.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Do we want to do a quick, because comedy festival's coming up, plug our shit or leave it to later?
We got shows. We've all got shows. Yeah. I'm at 8:45 every night at the Downstairs Lounge at the Grand Mercure.
Yeah, on Swanson
Tickets
Street.
From TommyDasilo.com.
Yeah, we actually met a couple of people. I spoke to. I just remembered I met another guy whose name, I'm so sorry, I can't remember, who listened to the podcast, but he came to our show.
Oh.
And that was cool. I wish I could remember your name, man. Sorry. But
well, if you listen and you see us in the street, this is the kind of respect you can expect.
It was Timothy Clark.
it was cool seeing people from
the other side of the country.
To see the show. So thanks again for that. And if you're in Melbourne, you can do it with my show. It's at 6 p.m. at the Imperial from the 3rd of April, which is a Sunday. And it goes through to the 17th, and it's called Nothing Important Has Happened to Me. And it's going to be a brand new hour of stand-up because I'm writing a whole bunch of new shit now. And
great.
So,
and if you guys together.
Yeah, if you want to see even more of Adam Knox after that.
And who bloody does
it? Yeah, come see us in Chimp Cop Nights.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like a cop movie comedy thing.
Very funny. One of my favorite shows last year.
Yeah, so it's a follow-up to our last show. It's going to be completely different in many ways. Mm-hmm. I suggest if you like us at all, you come see it because I think it's going to be fucking great. So it's 10:15 p.m.
You could
Imperial
actually,
Hotel.
If you're a real filth devotee,
yes.
You could actually do the triple. Do the dirty triple.
Whoa. Yeah. What time are you at the Grand Mercure?
8:45.
Oh, fuck yeah. You can do all of it.
6 p.m. Knox. Yeah. 8:45 Das.
Yep.
10:15 Chim Cop.
That's right.
And we're doing a live show of this at some
point
during the Comedy Festival.
We're going to do something somewhere. We've had a hiccup with that I have to tell you guys about.
Oh, dear.
But we'll make something happen because it seems like interest is out there, so we'll get something to happen.
Absolutely.
Sure. Fuck, what's our sign-off again? Oh, yeah, as from all of us here at Filthy Casuals, party on, Wayne.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.